Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Get it for the fourth time. Prescott.
Oh, a lot of time. Oh.
Airs it out deep down the field. CeeDee Lamb breaks the tackle. No one home. Touchdown, Dallas.
A bad day in Big D yesterday. We're here to talk about it today. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Ben will join me at 12. The 44-22 loss over... I'm
not in the stream yet, am I? You need me in the stream, don't you?
Yeah, I'd prefer it, but you know, if you don't want to show your face after a loss like that, I completely understand.
I'm potting myself up in the stream. My apologies. A little bit off today. 44-22, the final in Dallas. It seems like the loss itself was the least of the concerns. We've got a quarterback who is hurt again. And the defense is playing as bad as any defense in the league is right now. And look, last year they were able to overcome a bad defense because they were playing the likes of Deshaun Watson and Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler and Kenny Pickett and Andy Dalton. But this year, when you've got the likes of Dak Prescott twice, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, and still down the road, Jalen Hurts twice, dare I say it, the season feels like it's on the brink. And I promised last week that if they lost yesterday, I would not go down this path in mid-October with still 10 games left. But if Jaden's going to be an in and out of the lineup quarterback, well, that alone ends any serious hope of having a good season. But on top of that, the defense being in total disarray, it's worse than I thought it would feel here on this Monday morning following the loss yesterday. They're 3-4. They're obviously not out of it. They don't have the worst record in the league. But 3-5 looks like more than just a possibility. It looks like a probability heading to Arrowhead a week from tonight to face the Red Hot Chiefs. Now, I said that the 44-22 loss against the Cowboys is actually the least of their concerns. Their biggest concerns out of the game yesterday are a quarterback who is hurt again. Dan Quinn said afterwards that Jaden Daniels will have an MRI today on his hamstring. It did seem like it was not a super serious injury. You know, he gave the thumbs up to his family. His mother and Quinn talked about after the game that Jaden wanted to come back in to the game and play. They wouldn't let him. So I guess that we could get some really good news today. But You certainly, with this guy now, through 27 games, not all 27 involving him, we're now on injury number 3 in 27 games, and I can do that math. That's an injury every 9 games. I know it doesn't work that way, but it's for emphasis to say, yeah, this was, with his frame, the number one concern that some of us had, and we are seeing now with him that a brilliant talent has to be available to play for his team to succeed. And we've got 3 injuries in 27 games and 2 already in 7 games this season. That is obviously a big, big storyline coming out of the game. And it's not just a weekly storyline, as in the lead up to the Kansas City game. There's a bigger picture conversation we have to have. And we've had it before, but now we really have to have. You know, I got so much on social media. God, thank God I don't look at it during the game. I really don't. But I look at it before the show. I mean, I must have had at least a dozen tweets explaining to me that as long as you let Jaden run and as long as you have him as a running quarterback, he's never going to survive. He got hit in the pocket. He got hurt in the pocket. Yes, the Green Bay injury was with him on the run, but it wasn't a designed run. It wasn't an option run. It was a scramble. Stop it with that. He is clearly a player that I think we're going to have to deal with this, you know, and that is going to be problematic because his talent is unmistakable. His impact on a game is unmistakable, and I'll get to his game yesterday in great detail when I get to my game take. But availability is the greatest ability, and it's possible he's going to miss more time in a season that, from that standpoint, the injury standpoint, has really gone sideways. And it happens to every team. You know, every team has years like this one, you know, and there's a long way to go. There are still 10 games, but it seems like, as NFL fans, right, when teams start this way, it typically continues this way. And you have those seasons in which you get bit by the injury bug. And Quinn said after the game, injuries had nothing to do with this. We don't make excuses. That's fine. We can talk about it. I know what injuries are in the NFL. They're a reality. They're not an excuse. They're real. And when they happen, they impact games and they impact seasons, period. End of discussion. You don't have to call in and say, next man up and all of that, you know, bravado. Everybody understands, yeah, in the fight, when you're actually in the fight, next man up. But when you're evaluating it, of course it matters. You'd have to be an idiot to say that injuries don't matter, that they don't impact games and seasons. And so far, this season has been impacted by the number of injuries that they have had. With that said, I'm kind of with Quinn yesterday to a certain degree that the biggest issue for them wasn't necessarily that they were missing 3 receivers, their 3 starting receivers. It was an issue. It absolutely was an issue. But they had a lot of issues yesterday, a lot in terms of why they lost that game. All right, so I want to just hear in the open before I get to the specifics of, you know, what was good from the game, what was bad from the game, and everything else. I do want to just start with this and acknowledge this for people out there like me who are massive Jaden Daniels fans and believers, and there's no reason, obviously, not to be, you know, after a couple of games this year where it wasn't exactly like it looked last year. He didn't play well yesterday. The offense didn't play well yesterday. Part of it is the limitations that they had at receiver. No doubt, to say otherwise, again, is stupidity at the highest level. You can say both things. It limited them, and also, hey, by the way, too bad, next man up, overcome it. And by the way, they have overcome it. I mean, they overcame it 2 weeks ago. I mean, they had Debo on the field, which was helpful. They nearly overcame it the other night with a less than 100% Debo on the field. I think that was clear Monday night. One less mistake, and they probably would have gotten through that game, but they weren't going to get through this game playing the way they played with the limitations or without them. They just didn't look right at any point. You know, perhaps they were on the verge of getting it together. You know, they had scored on a long drive at the end of the first half, and they were on the move in the third quarter. You know, we've seen bad halves or halves that weren't stellar, and then we've seen Jaden and the offense turn it around and be lights out in the second half. And they were certainly on the move in the third quarter, down 27-15. Would have been nice had it been 20-15 or 23-15 instead of 27-15. We'll get to, you know, how they ended that first half when I get to the game take. But it's very possible. And I had a friend of mine who is a coach in town just say, you know, they were going to score on that drive if he doesn't get hurt. And then all we were looking for was just one or two plays defensively the rest of the way. And it was going to be, there was going to be a chance. I tend to agree with that. I don't know if the defense was going to come up with the one or two plays that it was going to need to have. But they were on the move. Jaden had completed that 3rd and 10 off schedule to Chris Moore. And then it was the next play where not only did he get hurt, he failed to protect the football. And with that turnover, his 3rd in 2 games, and added to that, him leaving the game, there went any hope of some sort of, you know, legitimate or even long shot comeback against the Cowboys. So, look, Jaden and the offense didn't do enough. That was true yesterday. They needed to play a flawless game. He needed to be what he was last year in games, knowing what the defense was up against the Cowboys, and they didn't. Now, what's also true about yesterday's game, and why I am willing to consider that here on October 20th at 3-4, with still 10 games left, the season is a bit on the brink. It is potentially about to come off the rails a bit. And let me just be clear. I'm not predicting that it's going to be. I've watched too many NFL seasons like many of you have. You know how things just change. And a couple of weeks from today, we could be thinking something completely different about this team. But you can only say what you feel in the moment. And I know that there's a chance that it will turn around. But in this moment, the defense is so bad. It is such an abject disaster with, I'm not sure, an obvious answer. And because, like I said, there aren't Jake Haners and Kenny Picketts and Spencer Rattlers and Deshaun Watsons and even like Daniel Jones in New York last year, there aren't a lot of those opportunities left. Or, you know, there isn't a Russell Wilson game against the Giants. There isn't a Geno Smith game against the Raiders. There aren't many of those left. Maybe the Miami game in Madrid. I am concerned that the big picture is not very rosy right now. And I think that leads me to what we've talked about a lot going back to last year. Is it a personnel issue or is it a defensive coordinator issue? I've told you guys for about a month running, I have been told, and the most recent was about 2 weeks ago, it's not just the defensive coordinator. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. But if you heard Dan Quinn after the game, it sounds like everything is on the table. He was asked about, once again, the explosive plays. And how about the play that we came in with, the 74-yard touchdown pass to C.D. Lamb, where Quan Martin and Marshawn Lattimore did their thing. They ran into each other for like the 7th time this year. It's actually becoming a ritual, a weekly ritual, that they run into each other, they knock each other down, and allow the other team to end up with a big play. And there were a lot of big plays yesterday. And remember when Joe Witt spoke last week, I said, this isn't about DeAndre Swift's breaking of a tackle on a 55-yard, you know, touchdown. He, you know, had sort of pinned that on, well, that's going to be called an explosive. Yeah, well, guess what? Olamide Zaccheaus' drop would have been an explosive, too, of about 97 yards. Like, context, your defense was terrible on Monday night. It wasn't about one play and one missed tackle. It was much more than that, as it's been against any capable team. Joe Witt's been the team's defensive coordinator now for 27 games, 20 last year and 7 this year. And the defense during his 27 games has been majority of the time bad. And it's really bad right now. So Dan Quinn was asked about another 6 to 7 explosive plays that they gave up in the game yesterday. And here's what he said.
Dan, with those big plays keep happening, how frustrating, and first of all, why, I guess, and then, but just how frustrating is it that game after game they keep happening?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. We're looking at everything, man. We're going to look at everything to, you know, have a play that goes down the field and you know, throw over your head or a good battle. Like, I can live with that one, but the ones of the big explosive plays that I can't put my finger on, that's a lot for us to dig into. If I had one specific reason, I'd say this or this. But, yeah, we got, like I said, a lot to get better at, and it's definitely frustrating.
So Dan Quinn, going to look at everything. And by the way, if you've watched this for him, wow, he was not happy. He was legitimately not happy. And Dan Quinn's not a pound your fist on the table, expletive, you know, post-game coach. But you could tell he is on the brink himself of having had it with the defense. Now, there were other follow-up questions, and we'll play some of those. But the big takeaway, and it happened quickly, John Keim got right to it, is, yeah, we are going to look at everything. And let's be specific. The question was asked about the defense and the explosive plays that it continues to give up. By the way, I think he needs to examine everything, because I didn't love what was happening offensively yesterday. But after a game like the one yesterday, when another 6 to 7 ridiculous explosive plays took place, and by the way, now add to the defensive misery that they can't stop the run, which reverts to last year's biggest issue. They don't take the ball away. 3 total turnovers, takeaways in 7 games. Only the Jets have fewer in the NFL. Yeah, I think everything's on the table, you know, and I would say this yesterday, just like Monday night, you can't walk away from Monday night's game and say it was all the defense when the offense had 3 turnovers. You can't walk away from yesterday's game and say it was just the defense when the offense had 2 turnovers, lots of penalties, lots of drop passes, etc. But it does feel like a moment to me where something might happen. Not sure if it will, but the defense is a huge problem currently, and then looking at the largesse of 10 games left in this season. You know, they've looked like a respectable defense only against opponents who were bad offensively or injured offensively. See the Giants, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Anybody that's had any capability whatsoever, and even a team like Chicago, who's, you know, okay, they have been torched. And when it came to explosive plays yesterday, Dan Quinn said he's going to look at everything. So what's he looking at? Well, he's got, in my opinion, 5 options. Number 1, do nothing. Number 2, do something with Joe Witt Jr. from a taking away his responsibilities as a coordinator, taking them on yourself as the head coach, or perhaps giving it to somebody else. That's option two. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away his coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, of course, is move on from Joe Witt Jr. 7 games into year two, because overall, the resume of 27 games is not good. And I've said this before about 100 times last year, another 100 to 200 in the offseason, and even a few times this year. The personnel ain't great. I get it. But there are a few players defensively who are capable. I mean, their two tackles, at least yesterday, Kinlaw all season long, are okay. Luvu is pretty good. Sanra still, we thought last year, could really play. They drafted a rookie in the second round who everybody thinks can really play. Yeah, there have been some key injuries, no doubt. Losing Wise, losing Armstrong in the game yesterday early was huge. But those are the options for Quinn. Do nothing, number one. Number two, do something with essentially demoting Joe Witt Jr. and either taking over the coordinating and game day play calling responsibilities yourself or giving them to somebody else. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away the coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, and let me just be clear, I think this is a major long shot. I don't think it'll happen. I think Dan Quinn would do something in the offseason, but not 7 games into this season. Because again, part of it is more than just the defense in terms of two losses in a row. They turned the ball over 3 times on Monday night. Hard to win a game -3. Now, you can say, I need to get some of those back. And they don't get any of them back. And yesterday, it wasn't like Washington's offense was matching Dallas's offense, score for score. But those are the five options. But look, the other thing is Jaden, back to him. You know, the offense. And the offense's biggest problem, and it's a conversation I know that we've had, but we need to have it again, is that number five is injured again. You know, this time it's a hamstring. A few weeks ago it was the knee. Last year it was the ribs. We don't know whether or not he's going to miss a game or games or any of the above. But the big picture on Jaden Daniels being injured for a second time in 7 short games this season and a 3rd time overall in the 27 games that he's been a part of the franchise is that it does feel like that this is going to be, you know, a theme every season. You know, he's going to miss some time because he's got a frame that isn't able to hold up necessarily against, you know, 17 games and the NFL talent. Yesterday, obviously, was, you know, all about him. There was only one way they were going to win that game and matching Dallas score for score is if he ended up, you know, putting on the Superman cape and doing what he did so many times last year. But he didn't really do that yesterday at all. And then he got hurt. This is certainly part of today's conversation. You know, we'll see about this one. It's new. It's a hamstring. You know, it's not a rib. It's not a knee injury. It's a hamstring injury. I would wager big money that during the course of his career, we'll have other parts of the body that end up being a, you know, central point of our conversation during football seasons. Again, yesterday was difficult for him, you know, before the injury. Limited at wide receiver. And, you know, then on top of that, penalties, drop passes, a run game that wasn't really existent. Maybe they should have tried more. I'll get to that when I get to my game take. Just penalties galore. But at the same time, he was able to overcome that all the time last year. You know, the situation being he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to rise above penalties and drops and a bad defense. And perhaps, again, I don't want to leave this as not a possibility explored, because I'll tell you, before he got hurt, I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, the drive at the end of the first half, and then they're on the move. He had the 3rd-and-2 run where he stretched it out to move the sticks. And then the 3rd-and-10, the off-schedule extend, and throw a ball to Chris Moore to move the chains. They're at the Dallas 39 pretty quickly, and they got a chance to make it 27-22 early in the third quarter. So we were perhaps on the verge. It's not like there isn't ample evidence that he is capable of going from a so-so half to a brilliant half in a game. We saw it against the Chargers 2 weeks ago. Really slow start and then brilliance the rest of the way without, you know, a great supporting cast. But he got hurt, and we'll never know on that. So here we are, you know, approaching the halfway mark of the season, approaching already the latter part of October. And this is a season that's under siege right now. It's under duress for sure. They've been an injured team, and now they are officially a terrible defensive team. And they have just one NFC win. The upcoming schedule looks brutal, and their starting quarterback is injured once again. NFL seasons are weird, man. There's a long way to go. 10 games. We know, those of us that have watched them, most of you as well, that the league will make you look stupid for declaring anything in October. But right now, Jaden's health, the health of some key players on offense and defense, and what Quinn does about the defense are the issues that need some resolution pretty quickly. I'll get to my game take when we come back, the specifics on what I liked, didn't like, and more, and then give you guys ample opportunity to vent on this Monday following an absolute beatdown in Dallas to the Cowboys to fall to 3-4 with the Chiefs on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead on deck. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, when I'm able to boot us up, we're also on our live YouTube stream. Just go to the Team 980's YouTube channel, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button when you get there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
When you just look at the collective over these last few weeks for the defense, is it execution, scheme, is it coaching? What in your mind is the biggest issue there?
Yeah, I wish I could have one thing, because I would say, okay, it's that. And so I think you probably heard me say it over the last year and a half, execution is players and coaches. And so that's what we'll dial into to find, are we putting the guys in the right spot? Are we, you know, digging into the right locations? Like as a coach, you always look, all right, what's the right amount? What's too much? So we got a lot to look into. You know, to have an extra day to go, a good bit of it's going to be about us before we even begin our preparation on Kansas City. 8 days from now, we got a lot of things to improve upon. And that's also why I said it at the beginning that the injuries are not the reason we lost. You know, if you don't give yourself a real shot at things to play it right, it just, you know, you can't give yourself a good game doing that.
Yeah, he's right about yesterday's game. The injuries were a part of what was going on offensively. You saw what Dallas did, right? They loaded the box. They played man coverage more than they played any time this year because they felt they could against Washington's, you know, group of receivers that didn't include anybody that was a legitimate threat, or at least they didn't think so. But the other part of the answer, and I want to play everything that Dan Quinn said in answering multiple questions about the defense yesterday and potential changes, because his first answer that we're going to look at everything was obviously one where everybody perked up and said, what does that mean? We may find out later today. His press conference, I think, scheduled for 3:30 this afternoon. Chris will have it on his show. Is that what time it's scheduled for, Max?
Yeah, usually Mondays are 3:30 on Zoom.
Yeah. All right, let's get to my game take. All right, if you want, in about 20 minutes, you can start loading up on the phone lines. You can start calling in. I know how many of you want to vent. This is one of those days, you know, it wasn't just a loss. It was a blowout loss. It was a blowout loss to a team that we hate to lose to. And it included another injury to the starting quarterback on a day which he was far from his best to begin with. And then it happened on a day in which the defense, for a second straight game, and really for a fourth time this year, was abysmal. And the coach suggested afterwards, as it related to the defense, he's going to look at everything. So there's a lot going on here. It's busy, you know? I mean, 5-2 is kind of boring, like we had last year. Kidding. All right, game take. What I liked, didn't like, and a few other observations. So I liked Daron Payne in the game. Man, he is feast or famine, isn't he? In his career here, he gives you those games and those plays in which you're like, why don't you do that every week on every play? The man had a tackle for a safety and three as a defensive tackle tipped passes. He had multiple pressures in the game, even though he was not credited with a sack. There was one play where he absolutely destroyed the interior offensive line and was right there, and Prescott put one up so early. Prescott was so good yesterday. Put one up so early, and of course on the other end of the pass was a George Pickens for a wide-open first down with number two somewhere in the picture. Actually, number two was in the picture a lot. Just wasn't able to make the plays more often than not. Daron Payne, look, it's one of those things where when you get into the All-22 and they grade it, there may be 10 plays that he took off, and he'll end up with a poor grade. But, man, he was noticeable many, many more times yesterday for excellence rather than non-excellence. Interesting that I will have a couple of defensive players on this list of things that I thought were good in a game in which the defense overall was, you know, porous once again. On the list of things that were good, Tress Way. I mean, let's face it. We knew going into this game, they're going to score, and they're going to score a lot. So you got to match them. And so they win the toss. They take the ball because they're like, we're going to get the first lead. You know, we're going to jump out rather than letting you jump out against our bad defense. And they're up 7-0, and Washington goes 3 and out on their first series. I got a problem with that series, and I'll talk about it, because there was an 8-yard first down run. Second and two, you should end up moving the sticks. But we'll get to that in a moment. But the big play was the Tressway punt down to the 1-yard line, and then what a play by Percy Butler to keep that thing at the 1-yard line, really inside the one, allowing for that next play, which was the Deron Payne safety. And all of a sudden, instead of them taking over, let's say, at the 20 because of a touchback and then going down the field and making it 14-0 or 10-0, it's 7-2. You get the ball back, you go down the field 65 yards and score a touchdown, and you're up 8-7, even though I think the score should have been 9-7. I'll get to that as well. Tressway is on the list of things that I liked. Percy Butler, for the same reason, but even more. Percy Butler had great punt coverage, and again, the punt coverage overall was outstanding in the game. The kickoff coverage, not so great. The punt coverage was great. Percy Butler stood out with his special teams play. I'm focused on special teams here on a day like yesterday. Tressway, Percy Butler. Let me add to that, Luke McCaffrey on kickoff returns. He had a couple that weren't great, and he was below his outstanding second best league average. But he had a 41-yarder. He had a 37-yarder. Luke McCaffrey's really good as a kickoff returner. He's fearless. He's quick. He's fast. He's got great vision. You know, keep kicking it to number 11. He did take that big, you know, trying to leap over the would-be tackler and took that big shot at the end of the first half. But Luke McCaffrey is seemingly on this list of things that I like every single week as a kickoff returner. Jeremy McNichols is on the list of things that I liked from this game. That 19-yard run on that drive at the end of the first half, wow. Two broken tackles. I mean, how many tackles is he going to break this year in a limited number of carries? I mean, he broke four or five on that 60-yard run against the Raiders. And on this particular play, not only does he break two tackles, but the last one, you know, should have brought him to the ground, but he's able to keep, amazingly, his balance, stay upright, and make it a 19-yard run. He only had four touches in the game, two runs, two catches. He totaled 45 yards on those four touches, so over 10 yards per touch. And I am sure that Jeremy McNichols probably gets some credit for pass protection because he does that well. Jeremy McNichols on the list of things that I liked. Robbie Chosen, they picked him up off the scrap heap not that long ago. You know, longtime NFL veteran. I think I remember him mostly from his days as a New York Jet. And he got, you know, his first action of the season. He was targeted four times. He made four catches for 36 yards. He also drew two pass interference penalties. Only one of them was called, though. Actually, the one that got called probably shouldn't have been called. It was a 4th-and-8 throw from Mariota that was not necessarily a great thrower on time, and I didn't think that was really PI, but the one in which they had the free play on the offsides on the final drive of the first half, and Jaden took the deep shot knowing that he had nothing to lose, how the hell is that not defensive pass interference? That gets called 98 times out of 100. It was so egregious. I actually had a problem with a lot of the calls in the game. Not that they made or would have made a difference, but it seemed like Washington was on the wrong end of many of them. I've got a list, and I'll get to that in a little bit. I put Frankie Louvu and Jacob Martin on this list. I thought Jacob Martin, look, I think he's good in pass pressure. He's quick. He's lean. He got credited for a half a sack, but he actually almost had another one. Dak got it back to the line of scrimmage or just beyond the line of scrimmage, so that counts as a rush, not a sack. But it was his pressure and him taking Dak down on that 1-yard gain just beyond the line of scrimmage. And Louvu must have had two or three TFLs. Where is he in the box score for yesterday? One on Javonte Williams, one on Jaden Blue. two TFLs in the game for Frankie Luvu. That's the list of things that I liked. Not much more. The list of things that were not good when I come back. It's long. I'll get to it, and in about 15 minutes, you can start getting onto the phone lines. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right. Less than happy Monday, everybody. We start off in the National Football League. The Washington Commanders, they get smoked by the Dallas Cowboys, 44-22. Defense could not buy a stop and put themselves in a hole early. The offense couldn't dig them out. Then, when it appeared things could not get worse, Jaden Daniels goes down and exits the game with a hamstring injury. Dan Quinn says he will receive an MRI this morning, and he'll have more information at his presser today at 3:30. We look around the NFC East. The Eagles, they get the win over the Minnesota Vikings, 28-22, improved to 5-2, and sit atop the NFC East. The Giants led the Broncos 19-0 heading into the fourth quarter. Denver finds some life with the score. Then they pick off Jackson Dart and keep the momentum rolling to a tune of 33 fourth quarter points to win on a walk-off field goal. And the Giants, they fall to 2-5. The NHL Caps, they fall in a Sunday matinee to the Vancouver Canucks. Another DC team falls into a hole early as the Canucks score three in the first period. Washington attempts to claw back, but Vancouver puts the game just out of reach. Caps lose 4-3. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
He will throw. Prescott throws over the middle and it's caught. Ferguson, touchdown, Dallas.
How disappointing, crushing was that series right before halftime, too? Where you guys get back in and you get the ball, and then they go down right down and score.
Yeah, words cannot explain. I was hot.
Yeah, that drive right before the end of the first half was a tough one. You took a 20-15 lead, but you left 40 seconds left on the clock. That was too much time against your defense. And that was, by the way, partly coaching. Get to that here in the game take as we continue. I gave you the things that I liked. Daron Payne, some special teamers, Tressway, Percy Butler, Luke McCaffrey. I thought McNichols and Robbie Chosen, they played pretty well. And I thought Luvu had moments. Jacob Martin had some moments. Let's get to the list of bad from the game. Here's the bottom line for the last two games. They just aren't good enough to be the team that makes the most mistakes and come out on top. We saw that on Monday night. They were -3 in the turnover margin. That was the difference in the game. They just aren't able to overcome that this year. Not against the teams they're playing anyway. And I talked about this on Friday as part of my keys to a win, that they needed to be near flawless, especially on offense, because you knew going in You're going to have to match Dallas. And I pointed out on Friday that every possession needs to be treated as if the possession is the one that can potentially win or lose the game. I thought they would be a four-down team. Opening drive, 4th and 3, their own 46. They're leaving the offense out there. They false start. You know, those are the self-inflicted things that have happened now for consecutive games that can't happen. They turned it over twice. They dropped 3 passes minimum in the first half that were big. They committed so many penalties. They didn't tackle well. When you have that, by the way, did you know they lead the league in drop passes? I didn't know that. Did you know that, Max? Did you see the graphic that was put up? They led the league coming into the game with 12 drop passes.
Yeah, and then on the 13th, I saw a tweet, and that was what notified me. And then I sent it to you, and then there like 3 more drops happened. It was great. I loved it.
You're not gonna have a really good chance in a game like yesterday's against that offense versus our defense if you're gonna commit 11 penalties for 118 yards, 8 for 90 in the first half, commit 2 turnovers and drop passes, and then make up for it by not tackling well on defense. It's just not going to happen. You know, some of the penalties, too, really cost them in the first half, field position-wise. They had, among their drives in the first half, and they had 7 of them. Did you know, by the way, the 15 offensive drives in the first half? Dallas had 8, Washington had 7. I don't count the last one when they needed out after Dallas scored with 10 seconds to go. The most in an NFL game this year. It was one long first half. But they had 3 drives that started from their 10, another one that started from their 10, and another one that started from their own 13, almost exclusively due to penalties. Washington's -5 turnover margin in the last 2 games, deadly, deadly. Now, those 2 turnovers came when they were already down 27-15, but they were driving to perhaps cut it to a 1-score game again. To be fair, Dallas didn't need the turnovers to win the game yesterday. Chicago did. But too many mistakes on a day in which you really couldn't afford any. You know, Jaden's fumble was not great. Marcus Mariota's pick 6 was really, really ugly. Horrendous decision, you know, terrible throw under duress. They needed to be, you know, flawless or near flawless, and instead committed one mistake after another. A lot of them really, you know, self-inflicted, not necessarily, you know, forced. They're just not going to win a game against that team's offense by giving away offensive possessions. Number 2 on the list of things I didn't like, the defense. Kind of like Monday night, right? It's like the 3 turnovers were the top reason they lost the game, but oh my God, the defense was just wretched. And it was, again, yesterday. You know, there were a few plays here and there. You know, I've already mentioned Duran's plays, a few pass breakups here and there, a couple of pass pressures here and there. The bottom line is the good plays don't happen enough, and they don't seem to happen consecutively. You know, you need 3 good plays in a row defensively, sometimes 4, to get off the field, and they don't do that enough. There are occasional TFLs, you know, tackles for loss. They had 7 of them in the game. There are some occasional plays in which you're like, that's good pass rush pressure. There are occasional plays against the run. Hey, that's a pretty good job against the run. But they don't happen enough, and they don't happen on consecutive plays to end the opponent's offensive possession with a punt. You know, not against the good teams. They haven't this year. Dallas punted twice during the competitive portion of the game. And really, on one of the times they punted, it was all on Dallas. They committed multiple penalties, and they had like a 2nd and 25, and they just couldn't overcome it. Other than that, Dallas against Washington's defense yesterday, during the real portion of the game, which is really the first 3 quarters, you know, into the 4th quarter, barely. 10 real drives, they scored on 7 of them. They rolled up 409 yards and 37 points. Remember, 7 were on the pick 6. 409 yards, seven of 10 drives, 37 points, basically 6 for 10 on third down. They finished 6 for 12, but during the competitive portion of the game, you know, into the early part of the fourth quarter before they took their foot off the gas and started to run clock, they just dominated. They had 12 plays, 12 in the game of 10 yards or more. They had 7 plays in the game of 17 yards or more. They had a 74-yard touchdown pass. They had a 44-yard play, a 33-yard play, a 24-yard play, an 18-yard play, and 2 17-yard plays. Whew. Hard to really win a game when you are just giving up chunk after chunk play. Lamb and Pickens are tough to cover, and Lamb being back elevated that offense to a place where you look at Dallas and you're like, if somehow their defense can just get off the field 3 or 4 times over the course of 60 minutes, they're going to have a chance to win every game they're in, because they are absolutely executing at an elite level offensively. Javonte Williams, 116 yards on 19 carries, 6.1 yards per carry. In the last 2 games, you know, going into the Chicago game, I'm like, all right, they have improved defensively. And the loss of Dietrich Wise, big deal. Loss yesterday of Dorrance Armstrong, big deal, no doubt. In the last 2 games, though, oof, the run stopping. They've given up 224 yards to the lead backs, DeAndre Swift and yesterday Javonte Williams, on 33 carries. That's 6.8 yards per carry. Yeah, it looks like they're not a very good run-stopping team either. Not when they play teams that decide they're going to run the football. Like on Monday night, DeAndre Swift should have had another 5 or 6 carries in that game, just like Jahmyr Gibbs should have in the playoff game. Dak Prescott, he was outstanding. 21 of 30, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He had a 130.4 passer rating and 88 QBR. Washington in coverage, still a problem. You can pick your guy, Lattimore, Sanders still. There were some PBUs, some pass breakups that were like in that given moment. Hey, that's not a bad play by Sanders still. That's not terrible coverage by Lattimore. But again, they don't happen consecutively. Teams can just keep going to it, and eventually, you know, 2 out of the 3 times, they're going to result in positive plays for the offense. As I mentioned, another, you know, Quan Martin-Lattimore collision on the 74-yard bomb to Lamb. I mean, you've got to be kidding me when it comes to this. Tackling wasn't good for the most part. How about the play where Quan Martin basically got carried by Javonte Williams on that 33-yard run at the end of the first half? You know, of the teams they've played this year, obviously Dallas is the best offensive team that they've played this year. They are really good, and Lamb took them to another level. And the loss of Armstrong yesterday, very early in the game, was a factor. He's been arguably their best defensive player. It's going to be interesting to see if Quinn does anything defensively this week. They are moving in the wrong direction. They are now number 4 in the traditional yards allowed ranking of defenses, the fourth worst in the league. Next up on the list of things I didn't like, the offense was just out of sync, and nothing was consistently good. There were good plays. There were moments. And I really did think the third quarter drive, I'm like, here we go. You know, they ended the first half on a long, very effective drive, and they were moving the ball to start the third quarter in Dallas territory at the Cowboy 39-yard line. But ultimately, you know, this didn't really resemble what they were at their best against the Chargers or even against the Bears when they were at their best offensively. And I got to tell you, man, I love Cliff Kingsbury, and I think they've got a really good offensive coordinator. But there are many days when I come in here, and usually it's after a game like yesterday, where I'm like, I don't know. I saw that they were loading the box. Sure. I saw they were playing man coverage. For sure. Let's maybe try to run it anyway. You know, And they had an 8-yard run on the first play of the game, and then they throw the ball for minus one to Bill Kroski Merritt. And it's like, it's an 8-yard run. And I also felt like, and I'll have to go back and watch the All-22, I kind of felt like they were running behind Cosme and Connerly more than Paul and Tunsil. I thought Cosme was really good in his first game back, from what I could tell. But I would have liked to have seen, and I think there have been too many moments this year where they've gotten away from or not given a fair shot to the running game. And I think the model for beating Dallas yesterday started with, offensively, we have to do our part to keep Dallas's offense off the field because we know it's a mismatch on the other side. If you're being real about what your team is, and I, you know, I still am not sure that they get. I mean, you know, we had Joe Witt Jr. last week talking about the DeAndre Swift touchdown as if that was the only play, and it was just a missed tackle, and it should have been an 8-yard gain, not a 55-yard gain, and it still goes in the, you know, bucket of explosives. Yeah, think about the explosives that didn't happen to you on Monday night that should have. But I would have thought that the overall plan going into the game yesterday is we got to win the game on offense. We have to think about four down offense. We've got to run the football. We got to possess the football. We got to get the clock to churn a little bit. And I don't think they gave the running game a fair shot. I understand. Loaded box, we're going to check to something. And maybe some of those were checks. But, you know, it was Dallas. They were the worst run stopping, the worst defense in the league. And yeah, they changed things up. They played a lot of, you know, 8-man boxes. I mean, I think there were a couple of plays in which it seemed like they had 10 near the line of scrimmage. I also would have preferred to have run behind Paul and Tunsil more than the other way around. But look, out of sync. I mean, the fourth down and three on the opening drive, they're keeping the offense out there. They false start. There's the play in which, you know, you've got the possession back after taking an eight, after falling back behind after you took the lead 8-7, and that's that third drive, and Zach Ertz is wide open and he just drops the football. You've got to be kidding me. You cannot drop the ball on a day in which you have to stay on the field. The pass protection I thought was good at times, and then on other plays it wasn't. Look, they had offensively 15 points and 214 yards in the first half. They were moving at the start of the second half. They were 5 for 10 on third down before the Jaden injury. It just didn't feel like it was in sync, though. It didn't look that way. It didn't feel that way. They couldn't get out of their own way. And again, to emphasize, it couldn't happen because of the opponent they were playing and what that opponent was doing when they had the ball, which was scoring. I didn't like the tempo at the end of the first half because I think it allowed Dallas to get the ball back and essentially erase the good deed done at the end of the first half, which was scoring on offense. Now, I think one thing Brady didn't point out is that tempo may have played a role in the success of that drive. We know how much of a role it's played in the success of their offense, you know, going back to last year. But they had to consider the game context, and that is we need to score a touchdown to make it 20-15, but we can't leave enough time on the clock for them to get in Aubrey range, which is the 50-yard line, or even worse, them to go down and score a touchdown, which they did in 40 seconds with two timeouts left. So I didn't like the way the last, you know, drive was managed. No takeaways, 3 total on the year. Only the Jets have fewer. That's killing them right now, their turnover margin. And the last thing on the list of things I didn't like is you don't go for 2 that early in the game. I'm sorry. In a game like that where there are going to be a lot of scores, a lot of different types of scores, right? We had a safety, we had a field goal, we had touchdowns. 7 minutes and 38 seconds left in the first quarter is not the opportunity to try to make it a 3-point lead at 8-7. You know, you just take the 9-7 knowing that there will be another opportunity if you need to do it to go for 2. Look, if they went into the game saying, we got 7 2-point plays that are going to work against this terrible defense. We're going for two the whole game. We're gonna pick up a net number of points via the PAT going for two. But that's not what they were thinking. They were thinking it's 8-7. Oh, the chart says go for two. The chart shouldn't be looked at with 7 minutes and 38 seconds left in the first quarter. That makes no sense to me. Certainly didn't cost them the game, though. All right. Your calls, other observations, including what I thought of Jaden before the injury, when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.